There were many criticisms of the armed takeover at Oregon's Malheur National Wildlife Refuge earlier this year. Count Oregon's Rural Organizing Project among the critics. The project has worked for years to counter the kinds of sentiments proclaimed by the people who took over the refuge. Let's find out more about the work of the Rural Organizing Project from Jessica Campbell, who is one of the staffers at ROP. Jessica, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
Give us a little history. How did ROP get started?
So ROP got started in the early 90s around Ballot Measure 9. Ballot Measure 9 sought to write into the Oregon Constitution that gay folks are abnormal and perverse, and it was a statewide initiative that ultimately was defeated. But the organizers, the Oregon Citizens Alliance, then moved it on a municipal or county basis. And so all of a sudden, these Son of Nine initiatives were coming up across rural communities, and folks were already feeling mighty isolated as queer folks who might have been closeted or maybe out and already feeling a little bit under attack, trying to figure out what to do about these initiatives. And the Rural Organizing Project was started as a means of connecting all of the folks who are trying to fight this ultimately anti-democratic legislation. This policy would basically create second-class citizenship for queer folks. So one of the first annual gatherings was actually the formation of the Rural Organizing Project, was all of these folks from across the state who said, actually, it's really important that we have a clearinghouse, that we have a network of resources, of analysis, of just even lessons and story sharing across the state. So we kind of know what we're all looking at and understand the depth, and that it's not just my one community that's specially kind of messed up and under attack, but actually there's a larger context and a larger political intention behind it.
It's interesting to think the Oregon Citizens Alliance was briefly so successful that it managed to make major changes in the Republican Party in Oregon, from which the Republican Party, it can be argued, has not yet quite emerged from, although the Oregon Citizens Alliance itself is no longer around, and yet the Rural Organizing Project certainly has survived. Do people make a mistake in thinking of rural areas as naturally conservative?
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of assumptions about rural folks. And I think that's part of the reason why the refuge and the occupation of the refuge has just been such a disaster, but also an opportunity for folks to really understand the depth of what's going on in rural right now, and understanding that not all rural folks are uneducated, not all rural folks are angry white supremacists. In fact, there's many, many folks to the contrary with a diversity of political opinions and life experiences.
The idea that government overreaches, though, which was one of the overriding issues that was raised by the refuge takeover, it seems to be a flame that is easily fanned. What kinds of things can you do, or have you done at the Rural Organizing Project to counter that?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that is just a true sentiment across the country right now is a real lack of faith in politicians, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Money in politics is a big one, and arguably that's part of why Trump is such a surprising frontrunner. And part of it is his supporters say that he's not beholden to, you know, donors, campaign donors. So, you know, that's one major reality that we are working with and working to kind of counter in a way, by really working with folks to really kind of re-envision what it means to have government and governance, and what does democracy mean? What does democracy actually look like? We actually have some opportunities now with some real popular kind of distrust and disgust with career politicians to maybe get some changes, and that could swing way far to the right, or it could actually swing in favor of justice and human dignity. You know, we're seeing, like with the refuge, we saw that it wasn't just anti-government sentiment. I feel like there's also a real desperation around the economy. And they claim to be speaking for the desperation around the economy, even though, you know, public lands, especially out in Harney County, there's some folks who totally believe, you know, that there's nothing that should be done to the public lands. Things are great as they stand. I would say a majority of the people who live out there recognize that there's problems, but there are ways to work through them. And that's in collaboration. And there's a number of organizations, including the High Desert Partnership, that do that really well, that bring community in partnership with the BLM, with the Forest Service, in order to make their policies more acceptable, in order to allow for folks to really have more access to the resources they need for their livelihood, either as ranchers, as farmers, and other folks who really rely on the land for their livelihood.
Jessica Campbell is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a staffer with the Rural Organizing Project in Oregon, which has worked to counter right-wing sentiments across the landscape for the better part of 2.5 decades. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Was the Rural Organizing Project actually working in Harney County when the refuge takeover was going on?
We sure were. Yeah, we sure were.
Doing what?
We were doing a lot of work directly with the community. One of the big, and it's, I shouldn't laugh. It's actually, I have a terrible habit of, I laugh when there's something kind of big and uncomfortable, and I just chuckled, and I shouldn't have.
No, you're not the only one.
But, you know, we're dealing with threats to people's safety, and that's actually a huge piece of the story that, you know, the Oregonian and OPB are doing a good job of exposing now. And the sheriff was certainly screaming from the rooftop around back in January, just the sheer amount of threats, of getting followed around, of even the sheriff's wife had left the state. She was so afraid after having her car vandalized, after having photos taken of their children, deputies being followed home, having their wives and children photographed, having high school students being followed to and from school. I mean, it really is a terrifying situation. But we were doing a lot of work, really working directly with folks who were receiving those threats, trying to build some kind of ad hoc security, especially in that moment when it's even law enforcement being targeted. We were also working with huge sections of the community in order to really build an understanding about what was going on, and actually to build an alternative voice. You know, these occupiers had claimed that they were doing it for Harney County and that everyone in Harney County loved what they were doing. But I got to tell you, there was this community meeting that was organized by the sheriff, and there were over 1,000 people there. And someone said, raise your hand if you want these occupiers to go home so we can go on with our lives and our kids can go back to school. And I didn't see a single hand down. I'm sure there were some. But, you know, 1,000 people in this county, that's 8,000 people total, you know, saying, yes, we want these folks out. You know, we were really working hard with folks to elevate that, because the media also was reporting that the community was divided. And what we really saw was the community was really unified, that they wanted to get back to living their lives and solving their problems the way that they have historically solved their problems, which is civilly and democratically.
I noticed, too, that the Rural Organizing Project has some concerns about the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and it's part of the focus because not Dave Ward, the sheriff in Harney County, but Glenn Palmer, the sheriff in neighboring Grant County, is actually believed to be the only Oregon sheriff who's part of that group. What's the major concern about the group?
Well, we don't. It's also foggy kind of who are members of this group. It was believed that the Douglas County Sheriff was a member. He claimed he was a member at multiple points. And that kind of came to light after the shooting out at the Umpqua Community College campus. And there are a number of other sheriffs who have participated in different moments, including Gil Gilbertson out of Josephine County, who was later not reelected. But he was similar to Glenn Palmer in Grant County, on kind of their national leadership body.
And being clear on not enforcing federal laws if you disagreed with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of their bottom line, is there's kind of throughout this militia movement and so-called patriot movement, there's an understanding and a cultivated culture around the Constitution, which is actually a really conservative interpretation of the Constitution. It's kind of like how you have different interpretations of the Bible. It's actually really fascinating. And so, you know, there's certain patriot groups and militia groups that only believe in the first 10 amendments. The rest of them, they don't identify with, in particular the 14th and 17th amendments. So the constitutional sheriff, kind of their whole premise is that they are not going to abide by or follow any laws that they deem unconstitutional, which there's a lot of folks in Grant County right now who are begging to differ with their sheriff's interpretation of the Constitution. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, pretty kind of bizarre politicking. There's some crank legal theories going on out there that is really making people fearful, not only for the safety of their peers and their neighbors, but also just for the long-term, you know, sustainability for the community. Glenn Palmer is now getting national headlines. And I got to tell you, I've talked to real estate agents who are saying that people are calling them saying that, you know, I was thinking about moving, but never mind. There's just too much going on in the news. This place doesn't seem safe. So it's really having an impact on the community, not just people's sense of safety, but also just the economy is getting, this guy getting all these headlines. And now he's up for re-election. So we're going to kind of see how all that plays out as well.
Jessica Campbell is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a staffer with the Rural Organizing Project in Oregon, which works to counteract militia groups and the like across the state. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. How do you go about your action? I mean, you mentioned this is a grassroots effort, so do you try to start with people who are organizing already within the county, people who are from that county?
Yeah, so how we work as an organization is we are, you know, we're an itty-bitty staff team. Really, the bulk of the Rural Organizing Project are our 50-plus, right now we're at 51 member groups that are all autonomous. They don't tell us, I mean, we don't tell them what to do, they tell us what to do. We resource them. And the majority of those groups are all volunteer, working in their counties across the state. And we've been doing this for 25 years, so even if there's not a current all-volunteer group that's active in those communities, there's often leaders who associate themselves with ROP or give us a holler when something's going on. You know, if it's a hate crime or, you know, if there's an issue that they really care about or if they want to have a voter guide that breaks down the ballot measures into accessible language, they know that they can call us. And so when things started going down out in Harney County, we had a bunch of folks call us saying, hey, ROP, we would love to talk to you about what's going on. And that is also because we really worked with folks there in Josephine County in April of 2015 around the occupation of the Sugar Pine Mine. So folks kind of already knew the story, already knew a bunch of the players, and understood that we had worked with community members in that case to really elevate that there was a way to disagree and hold up a different set of values, not just to, you know, kind of demonize these folks. Because, you know, these folks are resonating with a lot of folks who are really troubled about what they see going on in their communities. They're seeing that we have failed political leadership that aren't actually meeting rural communities' needs. They're seeing that, you know, libraries are going away. They can't get sheriff's deputies out to their house when they need to. We've heard horror stories from women crisis workers who can't get law enforcement out to support their clients, to the point where judges are even saying, I'll grant you that restraining order, but do you have a gun? You know, it's a really kind of scary situation out there. And there's some real anger that we have to acknowledge and really address. So, you know, really what we're about at ROP is not necessarily being anti-right, but it's more about what are our collective shared values and what are our collective shared priorities moving forward as entire communities. I don't think that any of us want communities where we can't access law enforcement, where you can't call 911 and get a human being. So how do we work together is really what our call has been, both in Josephine County and also in Harney County.
Well, it raises some interesting questions about how you find footing politically, because those are obviously highly charged issues, which I guess is what you tend to deal with anyway. But particularly with situations like in Josephine County and the other ONC counties in western Oregon, which have seen services decline because of the lack of federal timber funds coming in. I mean, do you end up taking positions on what the counties should be doing to try to get funds back, or timber cutting itself, or any of that?
Well, you know, we're in a lot of conversations right now about what to do about all of those different pieces. You know, our bottom line has been, are there ways that we can really move potentially state money, because that feels slightly more accessible than federal money, in order to have some basic community lines? I mean, community bottom lines. I mean, if you live in Oregon, you should get a human being when you call 911. I think that about everyone's going to agree with that. And why is that not funded? Why are schools not funded? Are there ways that we can actually creatively bring some of that resourcing and energy back into rural communities after 30-plus years of disinvestment? And we're also, at the same time, really naming that we need new economic engines in a lot of these communities. Like out in Harney County, they said that they wanted to open up the forests in order to log them. Well, you know, there's a lot of arguments for and against, but the reality is there's not a lot left to log. That is not a long-term solution. That's a short-term solution, which I understand people are desperately wanting. But long-term, we're going to have to look at how we actually have sustainable economies in these communities that have been traditionally resource extraction-based.
Well, you've certainly set yourselves a bit of a task there, but it's impressive. Jessica Campbell is one of the staffers at the Rural Organizing Project, which works across Oregon on a bunch of different venues you just heard about. Jessica, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, take care.